This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
a former Fed official weighs in on the impending March rate hike, saying policymakers may have waited too long to move.
Shares of Snap fall for the first time since its IPO, as some analysts point to a high valuation.
ESPN plans to cut on-air staff as the Disney-owned channel copes with a shrinking cable audience.
House Republicans have presented their newly unveiled plan for undoing former President Obama's health care law. I'm Michael Barr. More on this and other stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks and Nets, both with big fourth quarters, both won on the road. The Rangers won on the road in overtime, and the Iona Gales are going to the NCAA tournament.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at NRIA.net.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 4.5 points. Dow futures down 30. NASDAQ futures down 9.5. The DAX in Germany is now up less than 0.1%, and so is the FTSE 100. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.49%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.30%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 11 cents to $53.31 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 40 cents to $12.25.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.0575. The yen, 113.90.
And trading is underway this morning in Europe. For the latest there, we bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Manus Cranny live from our London bureau. Good morning, Manus.
Bob, Karen, a very good day to you. Let's kick it off with the growth numbers here for the euro area for the fourth quarter. Saw an expansion of 0.4%. What drove it? It was domestic spending that actually boosted the numbers. Household consumption added 0.2%, while government spending and investment contributed 0.1% each. So that's the data. Where do we get a bit of volatility this morning? The euro is fairly phlegmatic this morning, trading at 105.75, but it was factory orders that slumped the most in 8 years. Yep. The most in 8 years in Germany. They dropped by more than 7%. It was the domestic factory orders that crashed by 10.5%. And demand for investment goods, well, that collapsed as well. What did the ministry have to say? The weak start to the year should be manageable. Business confidence in manufacturing is significantly brighter than the long-term average. Now, when it comes to stock news, we have Aggreko. This is a Scottish-based temporary power supplier, which employs about 6,000 people around the world. Reported a 3% drop in revenues. They also warned that they expected to see growth this year, but 2017 profits, they will be below 2016. Aggreko is the biggest decliner on the Stock 600, down this morning by almost 12%. And finally, I'll leave you with a line from Just Eat. They deliver. This is, of course, the maker of food delivery software used by restaurants. The stock jumped the most in 4 months. Full year revenue beat the highest estimates, tipping in at £375.7 million. Who said there wasn't money in food delivery? Manus Cranny, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
All right, thanks, Manus. And Tuesday trading is wrapped up in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, most Asian markets rose Tuesday, albeit on very low volumes. The yen and topics were barely changed, but there was some downside pressure on Japan's Nikkei 225, which lost 0.2%. The Aussie dollar and Australian stocks rose in Sydney as the RBA left rates on hold, as expected, at 1.5%. South Korean stocks were among the biggest gainers in the region, while the won rallied against the dollar. Investors seemingly very complacent about yesterday's missile launch by North Korea. Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong rose for a second session, while the CSI 300 index added 0.2%. Kiyoshi Ishigane, chief strategist at Mitsubishi UFJ Kokusai Asset Management, told Bloomberg that the market has already mostly priced in a March rate hike. The Fed's expected move certainly the focus of what was otherwise a very quiet session for Asian traders. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. Former Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia President Charles Plosser is weighing in on Fed policy as Fed funds futures predict a 98% chance of a rate hike this month. Plosser tells Bloomberg policymakers may have waited too long to move.
come June and the data continues as it's been going and it looks good, then they may be stuck in a place where they can't get away with slow rate increases anymore. It may be they'll find themselves in a position where they have to be raising rates at 50 basis points in a meeting and raising them faster. And they don't want to do that because they're worried that if they get into a situation where they have to play catch up, then they actually could have to move faster than they would like, and that could itself cause some disruptions in the economy and in the markets.
We heard many hawkish comments from Fed officials last week pointing to a near-certain rate increase this month. Only one of the Fed's 23 primary dealers is not calling for a hike at next week's meeting.
In corporate news, ESPN is said to plan job cuts to its on-air talent, that according to a person familiar with the matter. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
The number of jobs affected have yet to be determined, and it's not yet clear whether the network will meet its goals by firing some workers or just winding down contracts. After years of steady growth, the sports juggernaut has been forced to retrench because of a shrinking audience of cable and satellite households, with more viewers opting to watch video on their phones. Bristol, Connecticut-based ESPN eliminated about 300 jobs, or 3.8% of its workforce, in 2015. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. And shares of Snap fell yesterday for the first time since it became a publicly traded company. Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti has that story.
The Snapchat maker's stock dropped below its IPO opening price of $24 to close at $23.77. The move comes after the first wave of analysts weighed in on the company's true valuation. Of the seven analysts covering the company, five had a sell rating and two had a hold rating on Snap. No analysts recommended buying the stock. In a note to investors, Needham & Company analyst Laura Martin placed the company's value at around $19 to $23 a share. Not all analysts are able to weigh in on Snap yet, since those at banks involved in the IPO are prevented from doing so for a while. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak, New York.
Thanks, Gina. And Snap shares down 2.4% in early trading. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. In focus, Republicans look to repeal Obamacare. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The White House is calling the Republican plan to repeal the Affordable Care Act an important step forward. The House proposal would roll back the government's role in health care. Critics say the Republican plan would likely leave more Americans uninsured. House committees plan to begin voting on the 123-page legislation tomorrow. Meanwhile, some Republican senators are also critical of the plan to replace Obamacare. Bloomberg's Remy Innocencio reports.
Four GOP senators have come out against the health care proposal because it winds down expansion of Medicaid for the poor, the disabled, as well as the elderly. In a letter to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, they said, quote, reform should not come at the cost of disruption in access to health care for our country's most vulnerable and sickest individuals. Now remember, the Senate has 52 Republicans, but without those four, the GOP's American Health Care Act will not get passed. Ramy Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is critical of President Trump's executive order banning travel from six predominantly Muslim countries. Schumer on the Senate floor yesterday says the ban is terribly misguided.
It's still a travel ban. It's still a refugee ban. It still makes us less safe, not safer, according not just to me, but to Republicans like Senator McCain.
White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway says the new order is about keeping the country safe.
What we're saying is we're not going to wait for the year-plus labyrinth process of the legal system to vindicate on the merits this particular executive order. Why wait when the country's safety is at hand?
Just a day after North Korea's missile test, the U.S. has started deploying mobile missile launchers in South Korea, and that is not sitting well with China. Bloomberg's David Inglis has more from Hong Kong.
As one former official at the Japanese Defense Ministry puts it, although it's clear that these initiatives are really meant to target North Korea, China sees the coming together of the U.S., of South Korea, also of Japan here, as a concern, or in the words of Beijing, something that would upset, quote, the strategic equilibrium in the region. David Inglis, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Crews will be out taking stock of the damage in Missouri today after at least two tornadoes touched down, one in Oak Grove and the other in Smithfield, north of Kansas City. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. And that moves us along to 6:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. It's been a rough year for the local NBA teams, but both the Knicks and Nets had big fourth quarters and both won on the road. The Knicks in Orlando, 113-105. They did it without Carmelo Anthony. They had lost 12 straight games when he sat out. Courtney Lee, 20 points to lead six Knicks in double figures. They won the fourth quarter, 28-13. The Nets won the fourth in Memphis, 34-18. They stunned the Grizzlies, 122-109, just their second win in the last 20 games. Sean Kilpatrick off the bench for 23 to lead six in double figures. Rangers at Tampa Bay, scoreless all the way to overtime.
Andre Palat carries in with speed. Shot it wide as he was being checked by McDonough. Off the boards. McDonough's got it to Zibanejad. He's in. He scores! Mika Zibanejad wins it in overtime.
Sam Rosen had it on MSG. Antti Raanta gave Henrik Lundqvist the night off, made 38 saves in the 1-0 win. The Iona Gaels are going to the NCAA tournament for the second year in a row. A 1-point win over Siena in the MAC finals. Stony Brook lost to Albany in the America East semifinals. In Tampa, the Pirates roughed up Brian Mitchell, beat the Yankees 13-1. Mets beat the Marlins 8-2. Steven Matz, two scoreless in his spring debut. The Mets will start Zach Wheeler on Friday, first time on the mound for him in 2 years. And the Mets DH tomorrow against the Red Sox will be Tim Tebow. He'll face last year's Cy Young winner, Rick Porcello. The World Baseball Classic underway and two wins for Israel. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
John, thanks very much. We'll check S&P futures. They're down 4 points. That is almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32nd. The yield at 2.4944%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak is powered by Burton LLP, accountants and advisors helping New Yorkers and businesses perform at their best since 1917. Visit burtonllp.com to speak with a Burton professional who can help you achieve your own great moments in New York.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Tension has surged in Korea as the first parts of a U.S. missile defense system arrived in the south. The U.N. Security Council convenes tomorrow after Pyongyang's ambassador broached the subject of actual war. In politics, Republicans' answer to Obamacare ends the mandate to buy health insurance. The measure also includes a tax credit for buying coverage on the open market. The proposal's already catching flak from some conservatives who call the credit a welfare entitlement. In economic news, the OECD has raised its forecast for U.S. GDP growth this year by 0.1%. That brings its projection to 2.4%. And a robot has set the Guinness World Record for completing a Rubik's Cube. The robot, powered by an Infineon processor, used its six mechanical arms to solve the cube in 21 moves. It clocked in at under 0.7 seconds. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Chris Kirkham, thank you. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Bentley University. What do rebooting America's oldest ski shop and crunching numbers at Vistaprint have in common? An MBA from Bentley University that prepares graduates to innovate and lead because businesses everywhere prepare here. S&P futures lower, down 4 points this morning. Dow futures down 26. NASDAQ futures down 9. DAX in Germany is up less than 0.1% now. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.49%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 20 cents to $53.40 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.10 to $12.24.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.0573, the yen, 113.93. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Texas lawmakers are considering a North Carolina-style bathroom bill targeting transgender people. The bill could clear a Senate committee as early as today. Gavin Grimm, the Virginia 17-year-old at the center of a high school lawsuit over transgender students' bathroom access, says the U.S. Supreme Court decision to back out of his case will keep other students like him in limbo. The decision by the high court means the case will be sent back to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals for reconsideration. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors were all winners. In the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime, the Bruins lost, and the Sharks were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, keep an eye out in this year's Scripps National Spelling Bee. Five-year-old Edith Fuller of Oklahoma has become the youngest winner of a regional competition to get into the spelling bee. Bob, Edith correctly spelled Hunana to get in.
Yeah, and you did say 5 years old.
5 years old.
They're growing them younger and younger. Smart kids these days.
Oh, man, nothing like me. Hunana, by the way, spelled J-N-A-N-A, means knowledge acquired through meditation. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
I'm doing one of those Hunanas. Let's talk crude oil, that is, with Christopher Sell, who edits the Bloomberg Brief's Oil Buyer's Guide. I suppose there's one thing, Chris, that you've got to say about Saudi Arabia. They don't give up. And Chris is joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line this morning. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. They just keep going, don't they, to try to make this work?
Absolutely, they do. It's a fascinating, you know, other aspect of this entire narrative that we've got playing out between OPEC and the OPEC agreement and U.S. shale on the other side. You know, you could say, what are the sort of flaws in its plan? You know, it's an understandable plan. They want to cut output. They've all want to agree that we want to reduce production in OPEC and non-OPEC producers to try and curb this, you know, overriding global glut. But at the same time, that means a lot of the cuts are, well, pretty much the majority of the cuts are all coming from the Middle East, which means there's going to be a dearth of supply out of that region, which means obviously Middle East product is essentially going to get more expensive relative to other crude grades. So that's great for, say, for example, the US or other producers, where that means buyers in Asia could think, well, actually, I don't need to go to Saudi or go to Iraqi crude. I could look elsewhere, and it's going to cost me maybe even less. So what Saudi Arabia has come out and done is actually surprised people and cut the premium for its sort of light crude. Light crude is it's sweeter, which means it's easier to process to get the products, and that means it's essentially going to be more expensive. But they've cut the OSP, the official selling price for that, into Asia. It's a smart move. I guess you could say it's an obvious move, but, you know, as you say, they're clinging on and they're trying to do what they can. That means, so by making these cuts, that's the narrowest now between the light and heavy crudes since, I think it's July 2015. So, you know, they're making their product as appealing as possible to the buyers in Asia. You know, they want these people in China, South Korea, Japan to keep buying their product, and they're going to keep pricing it as competitively as possible to do that.
Help me out here, because I don't hear the experts saying that this is turning into a price war, but to my untrained eye, it has all the appearances of a price war ahead.
Well, to my untrained eye, it does too, to be honest. I mean, I think the problem is, you know, well, not the problem. I think what it is, everyone is just so focused on the sort of the bigger picture here of the numbers, the fundamentals, how much is being cut by which producer, and as a result, how much U.S. is you know, increasing in turn, and how many rigs are being added. I mean, this is a very important but perhaps less, I don't know, grand story, if you like, but it's a very, very, very important one. And actually, there's been several stories dripping through Bloomberg over the last few weeks and months about various sort of crude grades, some out of the Gulf of Mexico, for example, or out of West Africa, which normally you wouldn't see going to Asia, and is happening because these crudes are being priced cheaper relative to the Dubai benchmark of Middle East product. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I know it's going to keep going until, you know, as this sort of whole story keeps playing out, really.
Okay. Christopher Sell edits the Bloomberg Briefs Oil Buyer's Guide. We appreciate your insights this morning. And from Bloomberg Brief, you can read analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletters. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, just use the function Brief Go. S&P futures down 4 points. That is a tenth of 1%. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak, right now checking West Texas Intermediate crude. It is up 0.25% to $53.35 a barrel.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Saudi Arabia is cutting prices for shipments of its lighter crude varieties to Asia. The surprise move comes at a time when light oil is rushing into the region from the Americas, Europe, and Africa. The spread between Saudi Arabia's lightest grades and its heaviest is the smallest it's been since July 2015.
German factory orders in January fell, the most since 2009, as demand for investment goods weakened. Orders were down 7.4% from December. The median estimate in a Bloomberg survey was for a 2.5% decline.
China is taking steps to support its stock market during this week's National People's Congress. According to people familiar with the matter, regulators have ordered large mutual funds to avoid net selling.
And the After a euphoric market debut, Snap shares dropped for the first time in 3 days, falling 12% yesterday to close below its opening price of $24. The company currently has no buy ratings from any analyst tracked by Bloomberg.
Dick's Sporting Goods is set to report quarterly results today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger tells us what we may hear from one of the largest sporting goods retailers.
Bloomberg Intelligence says in order to meet its revenue and earnings targets, Dick's had to outperform the overall market. Point-of-sale data from Spend Trends suggests total sporting goods sales improved less than 1% in November and December and fell sharply in January. Dick's estimates the company's same-store sales for the fourth quarter were up 4.5% year-over-year. Forecasts are for Dick's Sporting Goods to post an adjusted profit of $1.30 a share on revenue of nearly $2.5 billion. The chain gets 17 buy ratings, 13 hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. Time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. Well, the VIX rose 2.5% yesterday to close at 11.24. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are higher by 0.33% to 11.28. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
And futures this morning are lower, with S&P futures down 3.5 points, Dow futures down 22, NASDAQ futures down 8. We are watching shares of Snap in early trading down 3.7% right now. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.49%, and NYMEX crude oil at $53.34 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by McLean Hospital's signature recovery programs, recognized as top rated by U.S. News and World Report. McLean's drug and alcohol addiction programs are here to help. To learn more, visit signaturerecovery.org. Healthcare repeal looms. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Republicans have introduced an outline of their version of replacement for Obamacare. Bloomberg's Ed Maxer reports it would be phased in over 3 years.
One of the major things it will do is change the balance of who pays what. Bloomberg's Zachary Tracer.
Folks who make up to $75,000 a year will get essentially a subsidy that's based on their age. And so these, they're going to be bigger for some folks and smaller for, others than what's under the current system. But generally, you know, folks who are older and wealthier will get more money under the new system. And, you know, folks who are poorer and in some cases younger will get less money.
The mandate will be gone. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio, San Francisco.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions has responded to criticism that he misled a Senate committee in January when he failed to disclose his communications with Russia's ambassador. Sessions, who recused himself last week from any Russia investigation, sent a letter to lawmakers yesterday that says he was honest in his response. Sessions, who served as a campaign advisor for President Donald Trump, says he does not recall any of his discussions regarding the campaign. President Trump has announced a new narrower travel ban. Bloomberg's Remy Innocencio reports immigration advocates are preparing a second round of legal challenges to the measure.
It puts a 90-day travel ban on the same group of Muslim-majority countries as the first ban, but drops Iraq after pressure from the Defense Department. The White House says it's a matter of national security. Critics say it's religious discrimination, but initial analysis of the new ban has legal experts saying it may be court-proof, having been written by lawyers and vetted already by the State Department. Remy Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. So Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Steshauer.
Good morning, Bob. Who needs Carmelo Anthony for one night anyway? Not the Knicks. He sat with an injured knee. Derrick Rose didn't play the fourth quarter. Kristaps Porzingis played only briefly in the fourth. They still held Orlando to 3-for-17 shooting in the fourth quarter. They beat the Magic 113-105. Kyle O'Quinn was the hero. 11 points, 8 rebounds, all in the fourth. He barely played until then. Rare enough for a Knicks road win. How about the Nets also rallying fourth quarter to win at Memphis 122-109. Just the Nets' fourth win in the last 3 months. The Rangers gave Henrik Lundqvist a night off, and his backup, Antti Raanta, was superb. 38 saves. Rangers won at Tampa Bay 1-0 on a Mika Zibanejad goal with about a minute left in overtime. College basketball in Albany. Iona and Siena. MAC final tied. Final minute.
McGill jogs to his left for Iona. Now cuts back to his right to Crawford. Zooming into the lane. Crawford puts it up. He answers with a layup of his own. 27 seconds left. Iona leading 85-83.
Westwood One had it. The Gales won 87-86. Jordan Washington, 21 points, 10 rebounds. They're 9-0 against Siena in the MAC tourney, and this will be Iona's 12th NCAAs. The only game they ever won was 1980 with Jim Valvano, the coach. They lost by 13 last year to Iowa State. Stony Brook went last year. Not this time. Upset at home by Albany. 63-56, the America East semifinals. Lucas Woodhouse, 25 points in the loss for the Seahawks. The Mets say Zach Wheeler will be on the mound Friday, first time in 2 years, and their DH tomorrow against the Red Sox will be Tim Tebow. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Steshauer. Bob.
John, thanks very much. Well, the Trump administration is currently a somewhat bare-bones operation with only a few top jobs filled so far. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with more on the delays.
The holdup is not just opposition from Democrats, but hang-ups on things like paperwork and security clearances. Bloomberg BNA's Nancy Ognanovich says President Trump still doesn't have a complete cabinet.
Neither Sonny Perdue, Trump's choice for agriculture, nor Alexander Acosta, his choice for labor, have even been officially nominated yet. And so until they're officially nominated, that is, their nomination is sent to the Senate, the committees with jurisdiction are not scheduling hearings.
She says only two or three deputy secretaries, who are the ones who actually manage the agencies, have been nominated, and that means no one to advance the president's agenda. She says the problem will not be going away soon.
This can go well into the spring and the summer even.
Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
President Trump's latest executive order restricting immigration from certain majority Muslim countries is less sweeping than his last one. But even if it withstands judicial scrutiny, it's still un-American and unwise. And if it doesn't, the president needs to resist his impulse to lash out. The new ban affects six nations instead of seven, exempts permanent residents working or traveling abroad, and deletes a provision that seemed to provide special protections for Christians. But this order won't make the U.S. safer, and it can still be used as a propaganda tool by terrorist organizations. In the courts, controversial policies are routinely put on hold until hearings can be held. When this happened with the last travel ban, Trump accused a so-called judge of putting the country in peril. Sorry, Mr. President, the buck stops on your desk. Presidents are responsible for upholding both the nation's security and the rule of law. Trump needs to understand that losing with dignity, or at least a bit of decorum, is part of the job. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now, your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Republican leaders in Maine and Utah are asking President Donald Trump to step into uncharted territory and rescind national monument designations made by his predecessor. 87,500 acres of donated forest land in Maine was designated a national monument last summer. Maine Republican Governor Paula Page is opposed to the designation, saying federal ownership could stymie industrial development. In Utah, the former president set aside 1.3 million acres of land that's sacred to Native Americans and is home to tens of thousands of archaeological sites, including ancient cliff dwellings. Republicans claim not one elected official in the state of Utah supports the designation. The Antiquities Act of 1906 doesn't give the president power to undo a designation, and no president has ever taken such a step. But the White House told the Associated Press the Obama administration's designations are now being reviewed to determine economic impacts, whether the law was followed, and whether there was appropriate consultation with local officials. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently down 4 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures down 22. NASDAQ futures down 8 points. 10-year Treasury prices up to 32nd. The yield at 2.4926%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg View was brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey. Winner of the 2017 Dealer Rater Dealer of the Year, New Jersey, and Consumer Satisfaction Awards. Experience why and define the way you drive at BenzelBusch.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures moving lower this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. Like you said, modest losses in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently down 22 points, S&P's dropped 3.5, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 8. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.49%. Asia markets were mostly higher overnight, while European markets are trading little change today. Consumer discretionary, technology, and materials are the leading sectors. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30 trade balance and at 3 p.m. consumer credit. After the bell last night, IBM and Salesforce team up to integrate AI software for businesses. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Michaels, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Brown-Forman to report before the open. Wrapping things up, Stericycle raised to neutral at Goldman Sachs and Hyatt raised equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Southeast Asia tensions could be ramping up with the arrival of U.S. missile launchers and other equipment needed to set up a controversial missile defense system in South Korea. North Korea, Russia, and China are upset with the plan. Washington and Seoul say the system is defensive and not meant to be a threat to Beijing or Moscow. Republican legislation aimed at unraveling the Affordable Care Act begins to get consideration before House committees tomorrow. There's opposition from Democratic lawmakers, and a significant number of moderate Senate Republicans have expressed concerns that the measure could leave too many Americans without coverage. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors are winners. In the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime. The Bruins lost. The Sharks were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, if you need to take care of that performance car, Jones, and money is no object, how about this nice Lamborghini Huracan Performante? It is unveiled and is at the Geneva Motor Show. Lamborghini says the car shredded the world's toughest track known as Green Hell. Bob, the time, 6 minutes, 52 seconds, 5 seconds faster than the previous record holder.
I want one just because of the name. It just sounds right. You know, I drive a Performante.
Oh, man, this thing, 630 horsepower, has a V10 engine. I'm sorry, I'll dial it down. The car is considered the fastest on Earth. $274,000 out of your pocket to drive it like you meant it.
Ooh-ooh.
Back to the Vega. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Outside investors in Snap, which went public in grand fashion last week, will get no vote in company decisions. Should we be outraged about this? I say probably not. The consensus used to be that dual-class shares that give company founders more votes per share than other investors were bad because they discourage hostile takeovers and thus remove a source of discipline for corporate managers. Now, though, some scholars argue that dual share arrangements encourage long-term investment and even make outside shareholders richer. Snap, to be sure, is taking things to an extreme, giving no votes to outside shareholders and effectively handing control for life to the company's two 20-something founders. It all could end really badly. Still, I think there's more to be gained than lost in letting companies experiment like this. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or ViewGo on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
A big part of Office Depot's customer base includes small and medium-sized businesses. So occasionally, the office supply retailer does surveys to figure out what those customers are doing. In its latest Small Business Index survey, Office Depot finds approximately 70% of small business owners filed their taxes the old-fashioned way last year. Surprisingly, they didn't use tax software. They also found that 1 in 4, about 24% of large small businesses, those with 50 to 99 employees, still use paper forms compared with the 20% that reported they were using online tax software. 1 in every 10 small businesses, about 11%, also waited to file their taxes on tax day or even asked for an extension. The survey findings were from interviews conducted from October to December of last year among 1,500 small and medium-sized businesses. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the State Department resuming its regular news briefing. That comes at 2 p.m. Wall Street time today. President Trump's picks for Deputy Attorney General and Associate Attorney General testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And Bloomberg government holds a webinar on threats posed by employees with access to classified information. Also making news this morning is President Trump's revised immigration ban order, unveiled yesterday by Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
This executive order responsibly provides a needed pause. We can carefully review how we scrutinize people coming here from these countries of concern.
And Bloomberg's Jennifer Epstein is joining us now on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Jennifer, good morning to you. So it looks like critics of this travel ban are promising to challenge the new version as well. Does it look like this is more likely to pass muster in the courts?
You know, this was an attempt by the Trump administration to make up for sort of a little bit of the haphazardness of the initial executive order. But you know, this is the same kind of thing where the people who are opposed to this are going to point to one, the first executive order, as well as the president's rhetoric on the campaign trail about this being a Muslim ban, and you know, people like Rudy Giuliani saying basically the president asked me to find a legal way to do a Muslim ban. But those things don't go away just because of this new text, and that seems to be one area where there's going to be a lot of opponents kind of just pointing to everything else, even if this new text isn't quite as questionable. This is just a 90-day suspension of visa processing. But, you know, all it takes is one judge to be opposed to it and put it on hold, as happened in the Pacific Northwest with the initial executive order, and that alone kind of paused the whole thing and forced the White House to go back to the drawing board. And so that's sort of here where we are now.
And he did get a little bit more support on Capitol Hill, did he not?
Yeah, you know, there is some Republicans who were initially kind of a little bit opposed, or at least saying, okay, you know, he's trying to make a good faith effort at improving this. And so there were some kind of positive-ish sentiment coming from the Hill.
Now, let's sort of shift gears here and talk about what the focus is going to be today, and that is Republican plans to repeal Obamacare. What's the start of this in terms of the new proposal the Republicans are putting forward?
Well, the Republicans put forward this plan last night that came from two committees. Hearings are expected to start in the next couple of days. And, what we're seeing right now is not a whole lot of actual public support for this, other than from some of the few members of the House leadership, none of whom seem to be going out on TV this morning or the other places where one usually goes to kind of defend something and promote something that they really are very positive about. And at the same time, you're seeing this pretty large group of House Republicans, the Freedom Caucus, express concerns about this bill and calling it Obamacare Lite, or saying that it's really not that much of a change. This originates in the House since it's a spending bill. Mm-hmm. But you have Rand Paul, for instance, who's been very vocal and has his own kind of plan for health care, being opposed to it. And I think you're going to see just continued kind of angst from a lot of Republicans that this bill doesn't do enough, and that it certainly that it seems no. to not get rid of the parts of Obamacare that concern people on the right, like okay. tax credits.
Bloomberg's Jennifer Epstein, thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. She joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Coming up in about 3 minutes, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. David, what's ahead?
That really incredible lineup this morning, starting with the former governor of the Bank of England. That's Lord Mervyn King. He's the author of an incredible book, The End of Alchemy, Money, Banking, and the Future of the Global Economy. We'll talk to him. Then we'll talk to Catherine Mann. She's the chief economist of the OECD. That organization out with revised global forecast this morning. And you and Jen Epstein were talking about the goings-on in Washington. We'll get the latest on the Democratic response to the Republican plan for health care from Howard Dean, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee, and, of course, a medical doctor himself.
Karen Moscow, what are markets doing right now?
We're watching a headline here. Brookfield to buy Terraforma Global for $787 million in cash and $455 million in debt. That just crossing. And for Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Surveillance, straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.